$520 million for a consultant on the environment. It's called Environmental, Social, and Governance Investments in Africa, and mobilize private sector resources. $520 million. Somebody got $520 million for an environmental, sounds like an environmental study. That's the most, I've always been one that paid a lot of money for my environmental studies, but they, you know, I paid like $50,000, not $520 million. $520 million for ESG. $25 million to promote biodiversity, conservation, and promote licit livelihoods by developing socially responsible behavior in the country of Colombia. Well, it's nice, $25 million to go into Colombia for something that nobody ever heard of. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. $40 million. $42 million for Johns Hopkins, great place to research and drive social and behavior change in Uganda. $42 million. What about us? What about social change in our country? $70 million for a center at Purdue to research university-sourced, evidence-based solutions to developmental challenges. I mean, these are massive numbers on things that nobody ever heard about.
I can't even deal with this stuff. This is where our tax dollars go. Oh, my gosh. I just want to launch myself. I'm going to yeet myself and all of mankind off a roof. If you've ever... I mean, I am in a Daria mood every day. I wake up and I'm like, how did the government fritter away more of my money today? How did, what's happening? I'm going to need a lot of black coffee and also probably something in it. Just saying, welcome to the show. I'm taking advantage of the dry freezing weather that's lowering my voice by an octave, and we're going to roll with it because it's... like a gift, really. It is. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of this first hour, ladies and gents. I'm not even joking. Like, I need black and bitter like my heart. More coffee. That was just... what was the... I was trying to do the math on that. The crazy thing is that... that's... because you said it's a drop in the bucket. When you add it up, you're like, oh, that's like several... that's a few billion. Now, to us, we're like, oh, my gosh. Think about your day-to-day budget. If someone's like, it's just $1 billion. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have $1 billion. Who does? And, well, taxpayers do. But with government, with them, it's like no big deal. No big deal. So I, because they're used to spending trillions. I just about can't handle it. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have a very difficult time, and we're going to have a difficult conversation today about this difficult time. I already told you once about Republicans in Congress, did I not? Did I not? I told you once about Republicans in Congress, and I said that this is going to be the true test. This is going to be the true test of all of these people and their tough talking all throughout the election. Guys, I hate to inform you, but the fight hasn't even started. Oh, no, loves. It hasn't even started. It's just gearing up. The fight wasn't to establish DOGE. The fight wasn't even for DOGE to recommend cuts. The fight is going to be whether or not Republicans actually institute those cuts. And this is the big issue, because there are a lot of Republicans in Congress. They talk a really good game. They talk a super good game. And then when push comes to shove, they fold, they crumple. Apparently, we're going to have an easier time in the Senate than we will in the House, and that means blank all until we get there. You know, we've got to get to that point. And already, Republicans are fighting back against it, these cuts. I'm going to tell you this. If Republicans fail to implement these cuts, if they fail to even do a quarter of what is asked, I don't think I can ever vote Republican again. I think I'm content with letting it all burn down. I'm not kidding. This is it. This is it. Here, this. What happens now in these next 6 months is going to determine the future of the... Everyone's like, the Republican Party's strong. You forget voters are fickle. As they should be, quite honestly. I want to know how much of you left me alone. How much of my money have you not touched? How much have you saved? Voters are fickle. And they will remember if Republicans betrayed them. And here's another addition. For those people who only came to the party because of Trump, these people will torpedo his legacy. And they will make him look like a laughing stock. They will betray him that much. And if you don't think they will, you don't know the whores in D.C. I don't like any of them. It is a necessary evil of a sinful mankind that we even have to deal with governing ourselves this way. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have to. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have to have checks and balances if I want to pay homage to what the founders wrote in the Federalist Papers about such structures. But this is the real test. And I'm already seeing it. For instance, Lindsey Graham. His spending bill, and this is the budget bill I've been talking about. His spending bill, he wanted to... I can't even hardly get out of my mouth. He wanted to spend an additional, dear heavens, an additional $345 billion or $75 billion. I'm going to look what Rand Paul tweeted, because Rand Paul was going at him. Rand Paul, ooh, that's going to be very, very, has to be very uncomfortable, you know, both there in the Senate together. But that's the real thing. I mean, he wanted to increase spending. That was his proposal. So this is already happening. We're already seeing them fold. We're already seeing them. And this is what they're going to look at it. They're going to be, we got all these savings from Doge. That means we can spend this money on a whole bunch of other stuff. They immediately look at Doge savings and like, oh, this is more money we can spend on things. That's the other downside of this. So we're going to follow this closely, and we have to lay this out, because this is going to be a real problem. And, you know, I got to tell you, with this, I mean, I don't even know how we're proposing an additional several hundred billion dollars in spending as Lindsey Graham has. I don't even know how it's Lindsey Graham, though. Are you surprised, Kane? Because Kane's laughing because it's Lindsey Graham. I mean, they were voting on different things out of committee last night. And so one of the things that we saw, and forgive because X is having like some monumental issues with even opening major tweets. I wanted to pull up his tweets so I could quote him accurately, because he had voted against that. And he wasn't the only Republican that did so. There were other Republicans in the Senate that voted against Graham's bill. And it was $342 billion. Roll Call has the full story, because they're prepping because this week it's coming down the pike here. And House Republicans say that their plans are better. The Senate's insisting their plan's better. You have to balance the budget. I mean, you know, we can't just keep kicking it down the road with CRs. So they have to adopt this budget resolution in both of the chambers in order to actually, you know, drafting the reconciliation bill. So they have to bring this up in their key committees, and then they have to actually draft the damn thing, which so we have this from the Senate. And these are all parliamentary procedures. So it's like a motion to proceed. Like, they're not voting on like a bill per se. They don't even have a finished resolution. That's something that they're going to be preparing in their committees. But these votes are like, you know, motion to proceed, motion to open debate, motion to close debate, all that stuff. That's what that is. So the initial plan, the Senate, they want spending boosts for defense and border security. They want domestic energy incentives, and they want offsets to pay for it. Now, it doesn't at all, and this is what enrages me, It doesn't at all touch the expiration of tax cuts. This as, oh yeah, you didn't know that?
I thought it was in there. It's not in
there. No, not in the Senate. Now remember, you've got House and you've got Senate. So you've got the Senate battling with a couple of different plans in committee, and then you've got the House that's also doing their own thing. So the Senate, the initial Senate plan that they had does not touch upon the, and when I say the expiration of tax cuts, I'm talking about the 2017 Trump tax cuts. That was my big criticism with them, is that there was the sunset, like they expired. What they did, what they promised to do, what Senate Republicans are promising to do is, oh, you know what? Because, you know, the process is so easy, guys, as you are aware, apparently, and they have no problem doing this. They're going to come back, Kane, with a second budget reconciliation process. That's going to happen later this year to deal with pieces of the GOP agenda that pertain to taxation, Kane. And I'm sure that you have your full faith and trust in the Republicans in the Senate to do that, don't you?
Is there a reason why they're kicking that part down the road?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I'm sure the chat over at Rumble, I'm sure everyone there agrees and has full faith and trust in the Republican Senate that, yeah, sure, winky wink, they're going to come back. They're going to handle this. They'll get it all taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. The resolution in the Senate, the one that they'd approved of, that was a party line vote. And then they have all these amendments, and then they basically amendment themselves to rhetorical death. But all of that's going to kick off tomorrow. Yeah, today's Wednesday. So that's kicking off tomorrow. So they want, and this is Graham's bill. This is the bill that has the $345 billion in new spending for border security, Pentagon, Coast Guard, etc. Additional spending. No, I know those are all key projects. We don't need to spend more. We need to cut the stupid spending elsewhere. I am tired of being used as a prostitute by my government. I have no nice language. I have no courtesy. I have no civility for these people anymore. I haven't had it for a long time. This is the bill. So yeah, if Republicans can't get it together, I hope it all burns down. I'm tired of carrying this damn party, as I'm sure you are too. This is the test. I'm done after this. I am done with it after this. I cannot continue supporting a party that says one thing and does something else. You actually have someone in the White House right now that's willing to do it. Of course, he can't write these bills and pass them himself in Congress. Hell, they already call him a dictator. Can you imagine? And that's even some of the moderates in the party. We've got more on this because I want to correct a story that, was it Forbes or Wall Street Journal? That's right. I think it's Forbes. So the headline is that Elon Musk is mulling over suggesting sending everybody $5,000 payments. That's not entirely accurate. I want to talk a little bit about that, but also the disaster of if that's even what he had proposed, what that would mean. We're going to talk about all of that. And we got Carol Roth coming up later in the show to hit it. We've got a lot of stuff to get into as well, including the latest with Ukraine. I think Trump pretty much put that to bed. History shows gold and silver thrive under strong leadership. During President Trump's first term, gold surged 53% and silver soared 51%. With him back, could precious metals break new records in 2025 and beyond? In times of economic uncertainty, smart investors turn to assets that have proven their worth. Gold and silver have historically outperformed in volatile markets, making them a crucial part of any strategy for preserving and growing wealth. And that's why I trust the partners at GoldCo. Secure your financial future today and don't wait until the next economic crisis happens. GoldCo is a trusted leader in precious metals, and with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. Take action and partner with a company that puts your security first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com right now and get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Buster Poindexter is back because inflation is hot, hot, hot. January inflation numbers have continued to climb, and the media has already found a way to pin this on Trump. We've done this to ourselves for a long period of time because inflation is not going away.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the, ooh, we're going to talk about this later too. After we talk about all the financial stuff. An appeals court blocked Biden's student debt relief plan. They ruled Tuesday to block the former failed president and his SAVE, which was the Saving on Valuable Education income-driven repayment plan. The Eighth Circuit ruled in favor of seven Republican-led states that argued that the Department of Education under Biden exceeded their authority with the implementation of SAVE. And so that's huge. That's very big. KFC is moving its headquarters from Kentucky to Texas, to Plano, Texas. The parent company is called Yum Brands, which I am fascinated with that name as a company. Because I'm like, they probably make some yummy stuff. Like, that's my first thought. So it worked on me. I mean, great marketing. It totally worked on me. So they've been thinking about this because of lower taxes and changes to office space needs. And as you know, Texas is very, very good for businesses. I mean, it's like one of the best business states. It's really good. So they have two corporate headquarters, one in Plano and the other in California. And so I just want to know what that means. Does that mean I'm going to have more access to chicken? Because if not, then, you know, miss me with this. Is there going to be more chicken by me? It's all I care about is me. The one change to your phone can reverse age-related cognitive issues by 10 years. What, says this thirsty clickbait headline? So apparently, if you block the internet for 2 weeks, you'll see mental health improvements. That's great unless you have to use it to work, which is most everyone. But they said keeping the internet off could boost your wealth. But you know what? It doesn't matter because then you have, you know, you can still sell connectivity. That still gets you. That's still stupid. So this study is dumb, written by dumb people. Coming up, we'll talk about the most painful way to die, which is looking at this budget bill from Lindsey Graham. Stick with us. Our partners over at Super Beats, the new product, Super Burine, which now you can walk into a Sam's Club and get. Super Burine is a plant-based supplement formulated with an ingredient that helps to support your metabolism and also helps to support blood sugar levels. It's three times more effective than your diet and exercise alone. And it offers real results. It's super convenient. One easy to swallow capsule a day helps you to do more to support that metabolic health and blood sugar levels using clinically researched ingredients. The berberine they use has a 10 times higher absorption rate than standard berberine. It's used by doctors from the makers of Super Beats. So head to your nearest Sam's Club, where you can save on Super Beats heart chews and the new Super Burine from Human. You'll love the way it makes you feel.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
80% of the Doge money saved needs to go to paying down the national debt, and the other 20% needs to go right back to the same people who sent it to DC in the first place, taxpayers like you and me. Doge is set to save $2 trillion over the next 2 years. There are 78 million tax-paying households in America. That means that $25,000 per household is what's being saved by Doge. $20,000 of that goes towards the national debt, and the other $5,000 needs to go right back to households in the form of a Doge dividend, a check saying that the federal government misused your funds. We abused them. We sent it to the transgender opera in Colombia. We did not do right by you.
I need a whole segment for that. So this is James. Mark that for me. I got to come back to that. That's James Fishback. He's this entrepreneur. You know, he's a money dude. And I want to set up the whole narrative that's trending today about Musk and the $5,000 to every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the U.S. of A. Because this came up on social media, that guy's video. And there was a conversation and Musk had responded. And all he said was, you know, I'll ask the president or I'll talk to the president, I think was his tweet. So he never said that he liked it or that he wanted to do it, but that doesn't stop these overeager reporters from, you know, mouth breathing all over their keyboard and going, oh my gosh, this is what Elon Musk is personally himself mulling over, giving $5,000 to everyone. And he didn't actually say that. He just responded to someone, like acknowledged what they said and was like, okay, then, you know, I'll say something to the president about it. That's, you know, or I'll ask the president is what he said. And it is a real creative stretch to say that he's mulling sending all Americans $5,000 checks. And that's what Forbes ran with. So wanted to set that up because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It is so stupid. it kills brain cells without alcohol. It is dumber than heels on Crocs. It is that stupid. Ask yourself, when the last time the government sending checks out to everyone worked well? Oh, the COVID checks. That wasn't, there was no waste, fraud, or abuse there at all, right? That was all A-OK. What about those STEMI checks? Every time the STEMI checks have gone out, that's always been great, hasn't it? This is why I say, and it's not Musk's idea, the media just wants to set him up to go at him. He responded to someone else who is proposing the idea. Musk didn't endorse it. You know, good grief. So the reason it's dumb is because, have you seen our deficit lately? We are on the edge of a cliff. I mean, I know that, what's his face, John Kennedy down in Louisiana says this is a joke. I'm not kidding you. We actually may all be living in the desert eating cat food at some point. I mean, that's a very real possibility. And I don't know if it's going to be like cane, like the kind that you have to, you know, put water in and basically bring it back to life, or if it's going to be the crappy burnt kibble. I don't know. But at some point, it's going to happen. Stock up, y'all. You got a remedy. You have to pay down the deficit first. That's a real thing. We're taxed to death. We have zero incentive to be burdened more after learning how badly our taxes have been wasted. I mean, it's an asinine proposal. It's not something that's like saying, okay, well, we're $500,000 in debt. You know what we're going to do to remedy that? We're going to get rid of our Amazon Prime subscription. That's right. Woo, we feel so much better. Let's go to the casino. That's what that is. That's how that works. It's true. It's a completely accurate comparison. And why would everyone get $5,000? No, I paid six figures in taxes. Do you realize that there are more people who pay into the system than not? No, not everyone pays their fair share, and the people bitching about it are the ones who don't. So this is, and you, if you think it stops at 5,000, people will keep demanding more and more and more. You have to pay down the deficit first. That's the biggest issue. The other issue is you have to immediately stop this stupid government spending. It is the fact that you have no idea what all we're spending money on is proof that we're spending money on things that we shouldn't be spending money on. I mean, you know, everything should be Article 1, Section 8, cut it to there, cut spending. You would have, oh my gosh, your coffers would overflow. All throughout history, whenever taxes have increased, revenue to the government's actually decreased. This has been even back in Kennedy's day in the 60s. He actually understood this, which is why he was a proponent of tax cuts and less government spending. Of course, he would have been, you know, quasi-crucified today, but that used to be where Democrats were, if it gives you any insight. No, we have to have tax cuts, and then we have to cut government spending, and we have to pay down the deficit. It requires an austerity that, frankly, I don't think this nation has the stomach for. I don't think we can do it. In fact, I would bet everything on the fact that we're not going to do it. I know that you want to hear something super happy. You get, you know, your retired, semi-retired goth, former, not really former Daria, to just give you the straight truth. That's my perspective on it. I don't want to set you up for a great emotional fall, because I feel like if I tell you anything different, I'm lying to you. Now, I don't really think that it's necessarily a reflection on the administration, although in some part it can be. Trump has an amazing bully pulpit. If he so chose, he could use that on all of these people that are dragging their feet in Congress. You know, we have these big fights about, you know, who's going to be in what seat, and, you know, I cannot stand the power jockeying fights. I think it shrinks brains. It does. It shrinks brains. It shrinks your jimmies. How about that? Like, I don't know how else. It makes everybody low T and estrogen dominant. I don't know. It's a horrible thing. I can't stand the power jockeying. Everyone wants the cocktail invites. They want to be power adjacent. They want to be pictured at the White House. You know, It's so dumb. I just want to be left the hell alone and leave my money alone and just govern responsibly. And I think most everyone wants that. And I think there are some Republicans in Congress that want that. But it's irrelevant because they're weak. They're all so terrified. I want to go back to this point in this budget bill with Lindsey Graham, the one where he actually wants to increase spending by $345 billion. Jiminy Christmas. I'm going to throw this cup. I'm going to throw this cup across the studio. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I'm going to throw it at you. I really can't throw well. That's a whole other story. Anyway, it's just more like hurdles. My point is that his bill was saying, okay, we're not even going to touch the expiration of the 2017 tax cuts in this first budget bill. Asinine, right? Not as asinine as the promise of, well, you know what? We'll come back later in the year and then we'll talk about it then. Do you guys honestly believe that they're going to do that? What have we been talking? What is the necessity for the speed and chaos that Trump had to hit the ground running with? Do you guys remember? Why did he have to hit the ground and start pushing so hard for this stuff? Because the clock's ticking. Every month, his influence in D.C. wanes. That's the nature of it. He's termed out after this. Midterms kick into gear in several months. All of these Republicans that you could maybe potentially get on board with a very austere bill, they are going to shirk away and hide in the shadows the moment that the midterm cycle starts picking up. You are actually going to have less of a chance to do it later than right now. That is a dodge. It is a dodge by weak Republicans in the Senate, weak Republicans in the House, who have no interest in cutting spending. They just want you to believe that they do and to let them off the hook. So then when midterms come around, they can be like, oh, well, we can't because it's midterms. We don't want to endanger our barely there majority. And then guess what? They're going to lose the House because they're stupid. That's what's going to happen. The worst strategists I've ever seen in my ever-loving life. Or are they? Because if the strategy is maintain the status quo, they're doing a really good job. I haven't seen anything serious from any of these people in D.C. And I've been watching this. I've been watching every motion. I've been watching the progress of what they're doing in their committees. Not a single damn one of them are serious, with the exception perhaps of a Rand Paul or a Thomas Massey or a Mike Lee. The vast majority of them, I hate to say it, including probably some of y'all's faves, they're not serious. And it's not that they support big spending. They're just female copulatory organs. That's what they are. That's the honest truth of it. And the problem of that is they will kneecap themselves for midterms. And then what does that look like for Trump's legacy? And this is why that's important. Because then after midterms, immediately everyone's going to start gearing up for 28. Think about the consequences of this. If we don't get these cuts implemented, and the battle hasn't even started for this, if we don't get this implemented, do you honestly think that anyone adjacent to this administration or anyone that ever supported anything in this administration regarding the budget is going to have a shot in hell in 28? No, the Republicans will allow for time. They're going to allow the Democrats in the media to rehabilitate either a new scum or somebody else. And the pendulum will swing the other way, and they'll pour sweet poison into the ears of the public, and then boom, that's what's going to happen. This is a domino effect, and it all starts with the spine of these in Congress. It starts with them. These people are not there for you to butt kiss. They're not there for you to beg for cocktail party invites. They're not there for influencers to get their stupid photos with. They're there to work for you. They're there to do a job. And they get a lot of money for it. And they get a lot of perks off of it. And then they go and they get their Fox contributorships and all this other stuff and their books with Regnery and everything else. And they go on their tours and do all this stuff. I'm not saying that to badmouth, any of those entities, but I'm saying that's the circuit. They go from this to this so they can get to this. And as long as they don't upset their own apple cart, they're fine. But if you're asking them to go out on a limb and actually take a brave stand about cutting spending, it's not going to happen. Not with these jokers. They're weak. They're anemic. For all the discussion about the strength of the Republican Party, it is still an anemic glob of trash. And it requires you to stick your foot up their backside in order to make them move. You know, the Tea Party was the polite way of making them do what voters wanted to do. And you remember how much effort had to be put in that just to get a modicum of results, right? Just a modicum, just a little bit of movement. This is going to require great Herculean effort. So then the question becomes, well, is it one of strength of Republicans in Congress? Or is this also indicting the strength and the stomach of the voter? There are things that are going to have to get cut that people are going to be very upset about. And they're going to be reminded of it every day by the media. It is a necessary path to go through in order to achieve fiscal sustainability. But we live in an immediate gratification culture, and I don't know if enough people have the stomach to do it. I wish I could tell you that I know how this ends. I don't. And for as many discussions as people have about the red pill and the blue pill, you're going to have a lot of Republicans that are going to eagerly gobble up that blue pill just to get themselves past this fight. So the question for you, voter, is how much are you willing to tolerate? Because your answer will help determine theirs. Don't forget who leads who here. We have a lot to touch on still to come. More on some of these cuts, the latest with these bills. And then we also have to talk about the black bald female Jesus. That's coming. Yeah. Strength and vitality inside and out. Native Path Collagen delivers the two most essential collagen types that your body needs to support strong bones and flexible joints. With type 1 and 3 collagen without unnecessary fillers, you'll enjoy smoother movement, resilient skin, and the confidence that comes with looking and feeling your best. You'll love Native Path Collagen because it'll keep your joints feeling strong and your skin looking smooth. And you can use it daily in your morning coffee to start the day feeling your best. And best of all, Native Path offers incredible bundle deals that let you stock up and save big. So you can grab a 3-pack or even a 6-pack at a fraction of the price compared to other collagen brands. And it's the perfect way to stay consistent with your daily collagen routine while keeping more money in your pocket. Visit getnativepath.com/Dana today and stock up on Native Path Collagen for up to an incredible 45% off, plus get free shipping. Every order comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free today.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But what I'm really worried about are the people who are not watching CNN or Fox, and who are...
I'm worried about that, too.
A lot of folks aren't looking for political comments.
Why is he trying to talk?
But it's finding them, and it's finding them wrapped up in a lot of cultural stuff. You could be on parenting Instagram, and you're getting this trad wife stuff with a little politics inflected into it, or Rogan, or the rest of it. And I think we really need to be much smarter about taking this conversation to places where it's not reaching folks.
So that's not the problem, Poot. And again, I swear I think he watches Obama videos and tries to like bite off his whole style. Yeah. If you look at his mannerisms and how he tries to talk, I think he tries to be like the white gay Obama. The white Obama. I think he's... I'm just thinking out loud. Shut up. It was a verbal typo. Anyway, to my point, the problem isn't that Democrats aren't in these spaces. The problem is that the stuff they say in these spaces is stupid, because that's why people are reacting so viscerally to them. It's not that they're, and really, honestly, you think that Poot is looking at trad wife stuff? I mean, he could be. I don't know. Maybe he's got like a fetish. I have no idea. But the idea that Democrats are not in these traditional spaces, dude, they were going into game lobbies. Shut up. They were trying to play Warhammer. Shut up. It's not that they're not going to where people are. It's that their messaging is just heinous. Nobody cares. No one wants to sit here and play a game. No one wants to be gaming. And here are some like you know, woke dudes sit here and talk about DEI while they're, you know, slaying battle ogrins and stuff. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants the stupid ads if they're trying to play a game that are like pushing a political message on them. That is the problem. It doesn't, all these different spaces that they're in, it's not the problem. The issue isn't that they're not in these spaces. It's what they say in the spaces that they're in that people are like, I don't want that. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They don't want anything to do with it. All right, so coming up, we have to talk about the blackballed female Jesus. And then maybe I have a, maybe Amy Schumer could play Mohammed in a movie about Mohammed. I mean, if that's what we're going to do, let's just throw all expectations out of the window. Yeah, like I, you know, we could have, I mean, I could be in charge of the casting. And I've got some suggestions, right? Some projects and some things that I think maybe some of, you know, you could cast these people for. I mean, if this is, I have to tell you about this production that they're going to be doing. Was it the Hollywood Bowl? And they got that chick from Wicked. I'm so done with musicals. That's a whole other issue. So we got a lot coming up. And also, Trump just is like, Zelensky's a dictator. What of it? We got to talk about this and everything else. Stick with us. Second hour next. It's the Bernagun. I always carry, and I will always tell people, and I'll tell you all, that I have no issue at all whatsoever using lethal force to protect myself or my loved ones. That said, I have a lot of friends that work in areas where they're not able to carry because of municipal restrictions or private property restrictions. One of my really dear friends works in D.C., and the nature of her job requires her to sometimes be out in the city late of an evening, and she doesn't want to be attacked when she goes to her vehicle because she's disarmed pretty much everywhere, even though she has a very difficult to get license. This is where Byrna comes in. Byrna SD, it's their best-selling model. They have other models. The Byrna SD is the best-selling. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. It doesn't care about stupid gun-free zone signs. There's no background checks, no permits, no waiting periods, and it can be shipped right to your door. Visit Byrna.com/Dana. That's Byrna.com/Dana to get 10% off your purchase. It's the Byrna SD. Check out the other models. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. Oh, welcome back to this glorious, frigid 17-degree day in Texas. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of or top of the second hour. We're all grimacing. I'm wearing a turtleneck until it stops being dumb outside. That's how it is. All right, so we're in a very big Daria mood today. We've been talking about the budget, which we're going to come back to because I got a lot more to share with you, but I didn't want to overload you in one or two segments. We're going to talk more about the budget. We're going to look at some of the latest. That's where the battle is beginning. The battle hasn't even started yet. The battle is the budget, and that starts tomorrow. So we'll discuss. But I've got to talk about a couple other things here, including this issue with the planes. So I'm not, we talked about the Toronto crash and the Delta crew. Was it a Delta Endeavor crew? Yeah,
Endeavor Air.
And I know that they've been real big on, you know, on, then they put out a video where they were talking about unmanned flights, meaning it's all women.
Yes, they did.
I'm going to need, so I can't be completely blamed solely. I'm going to need everyone to let me know on a scale of 1 to 10, how straightforward do you want me to be with you on this? Ooh.
Can I choose 11?
Well, Kane says 11. I don't know what the chat chooses, but
I think they're going to go with 11.
They may not. You've got some very sensible people in that room.
I don't know.
You got some of the rabble rousers. That's true.
I feel like the chat is mature enough to take the 11 truth.
Okay. We'll see what they say. We'll see what they say. But this crash in Toronto, and thankfully there were no fatalities or anything that came from that. But there's a lot of interesting stuff, though, that has come out in the meantime about the crash and about how they conduct business. And one of those, I mean, you have the Endeavor flight crew, and they've been really big on having it, I guess, what, all ladies? I don't know. They wanted a lady,
yeah.
All lady flight. So they called it an unmanned flight. I don't know. I don't know how much that contributed to what happened in Toronto. Separate from that, what I am going to say, and if you're offended by this, I am not Dora the Explorer and I may not be for you. If I get on a plane and it's all broads, I'm off. I ain't dealing with it. I'm not dealing with it. If I get on a plane and it's a bunch of broads that are trying to make TikTok music videos of themselves instead of preparing the damn plane for flight, I'm off. Now, I say that because they literally did that. So there is a video out there, and I don't know how much of it we can play because of all the copyrighted music on it. Yes.
We can play maybe a couple seconds of the music, but then we'll turn that volume down so you can kind of see the absurdity.
Okay, first off, can I just interject? The chat is entirely irresponsible. They said level 20.
Level 20?
Yeah.
I have
things catch on fire at that level.
Newfound respect for the chat.
You are inciting them, sir.
I'm not. I'm just agreeing
with
them.
You guys out in Rumble, you ignore what he just said.
What?
Lorraine says it's 15 to 20. Okay, if I get on a plane and it's a bunch of bitches doing MIA, you know, live fast, die young, I'm going to get off that plane. That's what's going to happen. So these chicks made a video, and I don't know if this was directed by Endeavor's flight crew or if these chicks decided to do it themselves, but they did this video that they put up on TikTok, and it's them jamming to a bunch of different songs, including MIA, who's an artist that I liked before it became popular for Scenester conservatives to like her. MIA's 2013 single, Bad Girls, which has a story behind the song and the accompanying video. So they did this, and Juan can show you some of it. They did this video where I guess they had the mom from The Incredibles. They used, they used her lyrics, and then they were playing MIA's Bad Girls at the beginning of this video clip. And they were talking about unmanned flights, and it's all the ladies going through. Look, the ladies checking the plane, the ladies here, the ladies dancing, and oh my gosh, I just cannot. No offense, girls, but this does not inspire passenger confidence. I don't even know if any of these women were the ones that were flying the plane. Say this is so. Okay, full stop. We're going to talk about the video in a minute, but why are you making a video about a plane using a song that talks about dying? Like, right in the first measure. Why? Why? Why do that? Look, we're going to live fast and die young. Great motto for a plane.
Fly with us.
We're going to die young. What the hell? What is happening? Who's directing this? Gosh, is it Captain Extensions? I don't know. So, why? That's not the best song choice. Sidebar. Why they didn't use Paper Planes? I don't know. MIA song Paper Planes, which was made very, very famous by Danny Boyle's film that included, it was like the game show. It was set in India. And it was talking to like the rags to riches, getting around the class system, all that stuff. That actually would have been more appropriate. But they decided to use this video. Why did they decide to use MIA's 2013 Bad Girls? Here's why. When that video came out, at the time, Saudi Arabia did not allow legally women to drive. Women could not drive. Very patriarchal society. Women could not, like, drive. They could not get in a car and drive themselves to a doctor appointment. They couldn't do any of that stuff. So MIA, and she got a lot of criticism because they were saying that she was using Arabian stereotypes in her video. And I think that those people are just being stupid and sensitive, because to say that she's, you know, somehow cliche is asinine. But her video was a protest music video against Saudi Arabia's then ban on women driving. And I say then ban because when they got the new king in Saudi Arabia, he changed that. And now women can drive in Saudi Arabia. But at the time when they were doing this video, and it was about basically they had presumably Saudi women, it was filmed in Morocco, and they were on this like desert dirt track, and they were drifting and doing all kinds of tricks and stuff like that. And it was a bunch of Saudi men that were watching these women racing cars. And it was supposed to be this, you know, kind of fist in the air. Yeah, well, women, you know, Saudi women can't drive. Here we are. You know, we enjoy this just like anybody else. So it was kind of like a protest video. So hijacking that song and trying to say that it is a great soundtrack to women in the United States who are free to do whatever they want to do, and actually making what I think is an inherently reverse discriminatory video where you're celebrating women doing basic stuff that doesn't need to be celebrated. And this is one of the things I don't understand about the insipidness of feminism. Basic bitches doing basic stuff. Woo. Why do you have to sit here and celebrate and high five every time you do a basic human activity? Stop it. If you don't want there to be two levels, then stop acting like you're specialer than everybody else just because you have a vagina. I'm so done with it. That being said, that was so dumb to use that song because it's not even comparable, number one. Number two, it is absolutely asinine that you're making a video about flying a plane and you're talking about dying in it. And then several months later, you literally flip a plane out of the sky. I don't know if Abroad was flying it or not. I'm just saying it's not a good look. You know, it's not a good look.
It's like they could have used like what? Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. Like, is there a worse song they could have used for that?
I mean, it's like using a Buddy Holly song, you know, while you're making a video about coming and flying with us and you play a Buddy Holly track. You see what I'm saying? It's just dumb. And then it makes me question, if you know so little about music, then what else do you not know about? Right? And I don't take any of this seriously. If I'm getting on a plane and if it's going to be all women, give me a bunch of like all butchy German ladies. Okay. I'm going to trust that more than I will Extensions McGee. Is that mean to say? I don't care. I'm just going to trust that kind. I'm going to trust that more.
That's that level 11 truth we've been looking for.
I mean, I can go harder. I mean, I'm so tired of this, like, girl boss, shut up. It's annoying. If you constantly have to tell everybody you're a boss, guess what? You're not. You really aren't. So, I mean, this is like the perfect time to talk about the blackballed Jesus female, right? Yeah, let's do it. Cynthia Erivo. I don't know if y'all saw this or not. She's going to play, I guess, the titular role of Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar at the Hollywood Bowl. Hollywood Bowl. It's like that's the big amphitheater that they got there. So she's going to be playing Jesus there. I don't know why. I guess, you know, they got to. I would think that just putting on anything that has Jesus in it in Hollywood is going to be controversial enough. But they're like, nah, let's take the edge off it. So they have Cynthia Erivo, who is in that musical Wicked, which I think is made entirely of estrogen and collagen. That whole musical is made of those two things. So they are, she's starring as this, and I don't know why they chose to pick her. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tim Rice's Jesus Christ Superstar. It's this summer. She also starred as Mary Magdalene in a different production. That's going to be in August at the Hollywood Bowl. And, oh gosh, it's going to... I'm assuming it's a musical. I know nothing about. But I guess she's playing the blackball Jesus. So I thought, well, you know, why don't we just go all the way? Right? Ask her to play Muhammad and see how well that goes. You know, just a thought. Like Cynthia Erivo as Muhammad. You know, could be. But then, you know, if we're going to be doing stuff like this, because I know that the left gets very, very sensitive about it unless they are looking at taking over, maybe like traditionally white characters with minority actors, or it's never reversed. And I mean, I don't really put a lot of stock into it, except the left freaks out so badly. It's like, imagine, you know, redoing Harriet Tubman. Her story and casting Jesse Plemons as Harriet Tubman. You guys know who Jesse Plemons is? It's Kirsten Dunst's husband. He's a great actor. Or redoing Roots and Chris Hemsworth as Kunta Kinte. Just imagine how well, I mean, right? I mean, we just take it all over. Or, you know, if maybe you want to get out of U.S., you know, historical recreations, we could go to Samurai and you could, let's do Lady Snowblood. Lady, and I love samurai films, Lady Snowblood, but starring Chris Pratt. Right? Works, right? Kane, you believe it.
Wait, it's in line with what they
I mean,
doing.
There's so many things we could do.
It opens a lot of doors.
Yeah, it opens a ton of doors. I'm just tired of the left always going, you know what? Let's do something rude about Jesus. That's all they, and every year, or maybe like every 3 years, they do this. Like, no one's had this thought before. What if, now hear me out, we insult Christians. What if we do that? Yeah, it's a totally original idea. And they're all high-fiving each other. Every 3 years they do this. It was actually trite back when Madonna did it. I was in elementary school when she did, what was the song she did? And I remember all the Catholics got mad about it. Because one of my friends, their family was super Catholic. She was like one of 11 kids. And that was not Madonna. It was not allowed in their house after that. What song was it? It wasn't like a virgin. It was the one where she was, they like burned crosses in it and it was nighttime and she was dark headed in that video.
Is that Papa Don't Preach or was that?
I don't remember. Somebody will tell me. I don't really care. I don't have enough room in my brain to remember all that trollop's work. Anyway, but you guys know what I mean. So I'm just, you know, it's just so just cliche anymore. We got a lot more to get into. We got to talk about budget. We got to get into all of that and more ideas for just, you know, completely offensive castings for other historical works. All Family Pharmacy provides the prescriptions you need, and they have a doctor that signs off on the prescriptions. They can send everything out in like, what, 2 to 4 days, overnight too. They can overnight it if you really need it. But they have customizable orders. They have emergency kits tailored to your needs, and they support your medical independence. So I use them, like, for instance, over Thanksgiving, I was getting serious sinusitis, and it was turning into strep. And I'm like, I am hosting Thanksgiving. This is insane. And I immediately was on allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. First time I did use code Dana10, and I got my 10% discount off my entire order. But you can get, you know, they have tons of different medications. They even have ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine as well, tons of antibiotics, over 200 other essential medications. And I ordered what I needed, like amoxicillin, azithromycin. And, you know, again, medical professionals, doctors are like, this is, you know, how you take it. This is the, you know, the dosage, et cetera. But it's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. The pricing's straightforward. And it's all from the USA. None of this stuff is input from China. It's not outsourced. It's made in the USA, so you can rest easy. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off using promo code Dana. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, promo code Dana10. That gets you 10% off. Don't wait. Put your order in today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Montana is looking to ban mRNA shots as vaccine hesitancy soars. And remember, they changed the definition to include mRNA as the quote-unquote vaccine for that. So very interesting. Good on Montana for doing this. So this, and I think there are other states that are actually entertaining that idea as well within their state. Yeah, Florida did it, but there are several other states that are now considering it too. A man drives over 700 miles to set fire to the home of a man talking with his ex-girlfriend. Oh my gosh. Oh man, and it's a Michigan man, not a Florida man. He was arrested and charged with 6 counts of attempted homicide after driving over 700 miles and setting fire, allegedly, to the Pennsylvania home of a man who was communicating with his ex-girlfriend. It happened about 5 a.m. just a few days ago. Police and firefighters responded. And they located the residents who evacuated. Two dogs were killed in the fire. That's horrible. It killed their dogs. So I just feel like that guy maybe should get the same punishment that the dogs received at this guy's hand. So they did take him into custody. They also had executed a search warrant at his residence, et cetera, et cetera. So he's the investigation is currently ongoing. But, yeah, I think that there needs to be a very I support a lethal penalty in that case. That's me. Billionaires are bidding on dinosaur bones as the ultimate status symbol. So see, they're going to be okay. I mean, they can go out and get dinosaur bones. Meanwhile, we're all paying $6 for eggs. And they're like that. Apparently, T-Rexes having that kind of those kind of fossilized remnants, all of this stuff. This that's like the new thing to have. I guess that's surpassing art. But also, I don't think it's so much a trendy thing to own. I think they're looking at ways to diversify their money. And so they can buy dinosaur bones and then they can have it on loan to museums and it's a tax write-off for them. That's how all that stuff works. So very interesting. So this one guy literally paid $6 million for a 150 million year old stegosaurus. Like, what do you do with that? Aside from, you know, try to take a, you know, reduce your tax burden by loaning it out to museums. Maybe that's what we should be doing. You know, just buy dinosaur bones. I'm saying, yeah. We have a lot more on the way, including all of the latest with the budget. Later in the program, Carol Roth will join us as well. Stick with us. From the folks at Kel-Tec, who've always been continued to redefine the game with cutting edge design and performance. So the PR57, which is a 5.7, Its innovative rotary barrel makes it the lightest one on the market. It is 40% lighter than the next 5.7. It's amazing. And they do that, again, with the rotary barrel and then also the unique top-loading design. So they replace the traditional magazines with stripper clips. So you have a slimmer carry profile, but you also get a 20+1 capacity. It's low recoil for ease of use and accuracy. And it's perfect, actually, for everyday carry. It really is. I mean, it's like the 5.7 I could actually conceal carry. And the MSRP, only $399, so it's super affordable. First of its kind from Kel-Tec, the PR57 rotary barrel pistol chambered in 5.7. Visit KelTecWeapons.com to learn more. Innovation Performance Kel-Tec, K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes, perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, they. That's what those ladies making that video for Delta. They should have used that. They should have used MIA's paper planes, but instead they decided to use the Bad Girls track, which talked about dying young. And because they thought they didn't really understand the history behind the song or the music video that was supposed to be so controversial back in 2013. Welcome, bottom of the hour. We're talking about that video that. Because it all had to do. There's a lot of questions that are surrounding the DEI aspect of, you know, planes, you know, like actual airplanes, and whether or not that was, and we don't know, because we really don't know anything about the, do we know who was flying the plane in Toronto? There was another crash, a plane crash in Arizona. Let me pull this up. It was on the runway.
What was Pete Buttigieg doing this whole time? I thought that he was supposed to be there handling all this.
They had two planes that collided at an airport in Arizona just right after the Toronto incident. And there were at least two fatalities that happened this morning. And it was outside of Tucson. Both planes were occupied when they collided. They're still investigating it. They really don't have an idea as to what, they don't have any idea yet. They're still investigating. So we got to talk about this. They apparently doubled down on Zelensky. So Vance also did. So Trump unleashed really went after Zelensky. He said that on Truth Social, he wrote, quote, "Think of it, a modestly successful comedian, Volodymyr Zelensky, talked the United States of America into spending $350 billion to go into a war that couldn't be won, that never had to start, but a war that he, without the U.S. and Trump, will never be able to settle." And he said, quote, "On top of this, Zelensky admits that half of the money we sent him is missing. He refuses to have elections, is very low in Ukrainian polls, and the only thing he was good at was playing Biden like a fiddle." He went on to say that he's a, quote, "dictator without elections," and that Ukraine's president better move faster. He's not going to have a country left. Dang. But he's not wrong. I mean, they did suspend election. I mean, they did do all of that. That's, you know, a very real thing. Vance also doubled down on it, too. And I don't know why people treat Zelensky like he's this, like, precious little sacred cow. I don't get it. And by the way, for the drive-bys that can't entertain two ideas at once in their teeny tiny brontosaurus-sized brains, you can think that Zelensky is a dictator. And also not like Vladimir Putin either, and think he's one too. Oh, what, Dana? You mean both of these ideas can exist in my head simultaneously? Yes. Welcome to being an evolved human. Jeez. I hate how I say, I hate when you bring this stuff up. And you're like, Zelensky is a dictator. You say Zelensky, you know, Zelensky shut down churches and he shut down press offices. And everyone's like, why do you like Putin? It's the exact same thing as saying, I really like waffles. And then someone reacting, you know, with rage. Why do you hate pancakes? I didn't say anything about pancakes, jackwagon. Talk about waffles. Same thing. I mean, I don't know why people excuse that. Oh, well, because it's a time of war. That's an excuse. Stop it. That's an excuse. So Vance also told Zelensky that he shouldn't badmouth Trump in public. He said, quote, "The idea that Zelensky is going to change the president's mind by bad mouthing him in public media. Everyone who knows the president will tell you that is an atrocious way to deal with this administration." That's true. He says, "A dictator without elections, Zelensky better move faster. He's not going to have a country." That's what Trump had said. And Vance was debating that. I think it's about time that somebody got pretty rough with them. I will never forget the story when they had one of Zelensky's deputies said that, well, the pensions for our people are going to, you know, their government officials are going to run out. The United States doesn't. And this was like this is about a year and a half ago when Biden was giving them more billions. And they were complaining that it wasn't enough because they had to pay their pensions. Oh, my gosh. Katie, bar the door. Yeah, this is they're a bratty, annoying welfare recipient. That's what they're doing right now. Take care of your business. Take care of your backyard and stop demanding the United States wipe your backside every single time you can't manage the deuce you take. I can't. We got our own issues here in the United States that we got to deal with. We have our own issues. We can't constantly go over and coddle these countries who would turn around and spit on us. Oh, how dare you, the big bad United States going out nation building. I mean, I grew up hearing this from all of these people. I grew up hearing that all of these leaders from all of these European nations detested the United States. They thought that we were braggarts and that, you know, we were entitled and, you know, all of this stuff and that we used our wealth to keep everybody in line. But, oh, my gosh, somebody over there stubs their toe and they are screaming and crying for the United States to come save them every single time. I'm tired of it. Deal with your own stuff. I don't care. It's a land dispute. How does it affect me? That's how everybody should be asking. That's not being nationalistic. That's being practical and understanding resources. And I think the people who disagree with that are the people who, I mean, those are probably the people who can't manage their everyday business in their own lives. I don't know how else to analyze it. But I'm so tired of, you know, being treated like we have to we owe something to this welfare. We don't. I get it. They're dealing with issues over there. And I'm going to tell you what, one way to not deal with the United States on this is act like we're somehow being cruel because we said enough. When you haven't been transparent with where the money's going and you're telling us that the billions that we've given you, half of it's missing. And then we have people that are with his own actual government, Zelensky's government, that were on record with repeated European media agencies telling them that if the United States didn't pony up more billions, they weren't going to be able to pay the pensions of some of their officials. You're in a war. You don't got time for bitches, lunchbox, or for pensions. You don't have time for this. You're in a war. We're broke. We as a nation are broke. We are getting ready to have the mother of all fights over this budget. I'm not exaggerating. And for as many times as other people have said this before, this is it, guys. This is it. This is it. Last chance. No more chances after this. It's over. You got to get a handle on your spending and your budget now or say goodbye. That is not an exaggeration. It's not fear-mongering. In fact, it's probably advice that's coming a little too late. So we don't have time to deal with whiny dictators who are, and he's a dictator. When you're suspending elections, you're shutting down press offices, you're a dictator. Don't act like there's like some kind of, you know, silver lining in any of this. And you can still think this and also not like Vladimir Putin and the communist nation that he pretends isn't communist. It's not like, these things, there's not a scarcity of availability for both of these things to exist in the same place. It's frustrating. And this, all of it. I'm just looking at some of the motions. We're going to talk about some of this with Carol Roth coming up next hour because there's, she's been warning about some of the changes for small businesses and they keep kicking the can down the road. We've got this proposal from, there was this entrepreneur, and I will say Musk didn't say that he was going to do it. He just responded to a Twitter thread where he said, I'll talk to the president about it. And Forbes rushes out with this hysterical headline. Oh my gosh, look what Elon Musk is going to send $5,000 to everybody, which Kane and I both agree is the dumbest thing we've ever heard. It's so dumb. It's not a good plan. It sending out money willy-nilly to people has not done anything. You need, first off, you know what would be amazing and what would show
they were serious is by making a move to abolish the IRS, cutting spending, reducing all spending levels down to Article 1, Section 8. If it's not included in Article 1, Section 8 under the purview of the federal government, then that responsibility needs to be delegated where it constitutionally belongs. That's with the states. Allow that, like, now I'm talking about Department of Education, all of it. There is absolutely no constitutional authority to have something like that established in the United States. Any discussion of welfare and protecting the cultural integrity of the United States is very limited when you actually read the Article 1. When you dive into it, it's very limited in scope. And there's so many things that we are not even allowed to do. It's and that we're doing anyway. It's amazing. You do this, you cut spending. You implement some pretty austere policies, and you can actually reverse this pretty quick. And that's it seems crazy to say that it could go that fast, but that's only if you have everybody on the same page. And I mean, I don't know if you've been seeing some of the stuff, even in the Senate, they're not on the same page. It's a major issue. And they're going to be doing, what is it, their vote-a-palooza and just proposing amendments beginning tomorrow. And even Trump weighed in on it. You know, Trump was, he kind of kicked Lindsey Graham's. Lindsey Graham has the proposal that wants to increase spending by $345 billion. It doesn't include anything. There's nothing in there about taxes. It does absolutely nothing to remedy the expiration of the 2017 tax cuts. It doesn't do anything about that. They said they promised they'd come back later in the year and they would deal with the tax cuts, which, you know, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. This is one of the reasons why Trump had to hit the ground, all gas, no brakes, and go as fast as he did and overwhelm the left, because here in just a few months, the midterm cycle starts. And all of these, you know, amenable politicians now that are willing to maybe cast some early votes on some of this more austere stuff, they're not going to do that once their cycles kick in and once they start gathering donations and once everything that they do becomes a dossier that's used against them by the left for their seat going into midterm elections. And then if midterms don't do well and Republicans haven't delivered, that majority is so narrow, absolutely they could stand to lose it. They could absolutely lose it, just as they could lose it in the Senate. And then you end up having a lame duck president for the remainder of his term. He's not going to accomplish anything, and then his legacy would be completely shot to hell. Good luck getting anyone even adjacent to him in 2028 elected. That is what is at stake, and that's exactly how it's going to play out. And anyone who disregards this is committing, you know, sovereign suicide. I have no idea how else to put it. The fight is now, and this is the most serious fight you are ever going to be in. Guys, we have never, even during the Tea Party days, we have never been so close to actually cutting the size and scope of government and how much government is spending. I don't think I'm exaggerating in saying that, do you?
No.
Even during the Tea Party days, we weren't this close. I mean, we talked about it a lot. And there were some good things that came up in committee. But do you remember, even when they did get a reduction in spending, it was like a reduction in the rate of growth of spending. That's all it was. We never actually achieved cutting spending. They said, well, we're spending the same amount of money slower. And then they classified that as a cut. And then that's what you had to live with. We've never been so close. You got to put a little bit extra gas on. You got to put a little more pressure on that pedal to get us over the hump. The budget resolution. So you have the committees, per their reconciliation instructions, they got to come up with what? A minimum of $4 billion in deficit reduction. And Rand Paul, and it was a procedural vote. He voted against the motion to proceed, because he just thinks that the whole bill's trash and he doesn't even want it to progress out of committee. He said that it does not. He said that it doesn't include the deep spending cuts that Trump called for. And he's right. Rand Paul's right. It does not go a quarter of as far as is being recommended by the administration. Kane, say what you just put in Slack, because this is a great point.
I mean, if a little 2% tax on our tea got us mad enough to create independence and this grand experiment we call the United States of America, then we can do this.
Yeah. I mean, it is doable, but it's
You remember what happened when Greece had to implement a lot of austerity? Do you remember the riots that they had? Yeah. Although some of that I think was kind of orchestrated by a lot of the leftists in the EU, if I'm being honest. There were people out in the streets, and they ended up having like a total regime change because the government was trying to get the nation back on a responsible fiscal path. And a lot of the people in the streets had just been so used to entitlement and big spending and welfare that they rejected it. And it was just a disaster. And that's what Republicans are afraid of. They don't want the bad press that's going to come along. I mean, think about it. You know, you're up for re-election in a purple district, and you voted to abolish the Department of Education so as to send it to the state so that actually parents can better control how their tax dollars are being used and their children are being educated. That seems like a reasonable thing. But that's not how it's messaged by the left and by the media. And Republicans are terrified of that. They've always been scared of their own shadow. Weakness is nauseating. It is one of the biggest deficits of the GOP. Weakness kills countries. It is nauseating. They have got to stop. They have got to get a spine. And they've got to deliver on what voters voted. Or I promise you, after midterms, they're not going to hold the House. Not going to happen. History shows gold and silver thrive under strong leadership. During President Trump's first term, gold surged 53% and silver soared 51%. With him back, could precious metals break new records in 2025 and beyond? In times of economic uncertainty, smart investors turn to assets that have proven their worth. Gold and silver have historically outperformed in volatile markets, making them a crucial part of any strategy for preserving and growing wealth. And that's why I trust the partners at GoldCo. Secure your financial future today and don't wait until the next economic crisis happens. GoldCo is a trusted leader in precious metals, and with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. Take action and partner with a company that puts your security first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com right now and get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is really the only Florida man story you probably need today. A Florida man ran over an alligator with an SUV to save his neighbor from being eaten. A Florida man and his dogs are lucky to be alive because they got attacked by gators. The man was in an 11-foot gator's mouth being dragged away when his neighbor drove his Lincoln, his SUV, over the gator. He threw it in reverse and went back right over that gator. Rick Fingerit of Florida, his two labs, they were walking usual route, past a pond. They stay away from the water, but this thing came at them 10 miles an hour. The guy tripped, and then the gator got him in his jaws. The dogs were frozen in terror, so his neighbor saved his life with an SUV. Third hour next, Carol Roth will be joining us. Stick with us. Strength and vitality inside and out. Native Path Collagen delivers the two most essential collagen types that your body needs to support strong bones and flexible joints. With type 1 and 3 collagen without unnecessary fillers, you'll enjoy smoother movement, resilient skin, and the confidence that comes with looking and feeling your best. You'll love Native Path Collagen because it'll keep your joints feeling strong and your skin looking smooth. And you can use it daily in your morning coffee to start the day feeling your best. And best of all, Native Path offers incredible bundle deals that let you stock up and save big. So you can grab a 3-pack or even a 6-pack at a fraction of the price compared to other collagen brands. And it's the perfect way to stay consistent with your daily collagen routine while keeping more money in your pocket. Visit getnativepath.com/Dana today and stock up on Native Path Collagen for up to an incredible 45% off, plus get free shipping. Every order comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free today. Welcome back to the program, top of this third hour. And we have a lot to get to. We're going to be talking with our friend Carol Roth coming up at the bottom of this third hour. And the sad news today came about the youngest hostages that Hamas was holding in Gaza. You remember the Beavis family, the mother, Shiri, and then her 4-year-old and the 9-month-old baby, Ariel and Kiefer. They were on video being kidnapped by Hamas. And they kind of became the face of the hostages. The baby was the youngest. In fact, he was, I think he was not 9 months. I think he was 8 months when he was taken. And Israel confirmed this afternoon that they are deceased. And that was the thing that everybody was kind of holding their breath about, because you can't really trust Hamas. Hamas has lied so many times before, both ways. They've said somebody was deceased and they weren't. They've said someone was alive and they weren't. They've done this tons of times with these hostages. And so they're hoping to release the bodies. They want to release the bodies tomorrow in exchange for living terrorist prisoners that Israel has in their custody. And so they're releasing the bodies. They're not coming home alive. We don't even know if any of the hostages left are alive. I think they're just releasing a bunch of bodies tomorrow. And then they expect their prisoners, or not even prisoners, they're actual terrorists that were caught in the acts of, in the act of terrorism. I mean, when you are trying to stab people, blow people up, and shoot people because they're Jewish and you're coming from Gaza, you're kind of a terrorist. And when you're taken into custody, you're not a prisoner. You are being taken into custody for terrorism. You're a criminal. So it's not even comparable. And the family, I think they're doing this because they want tensions to cool so they get their people back alive. So they're tomorrow, apparently, four bodies, including an elderly man who was killed in Hamas's captivity, are going to be released. And Hamas says it's going to give their bodies back. And I'm just disgusted and shocked. I mean, it is they were little kids. This was the youngest of all of the, and nobody knows exactly how, because Hamas has changed their story a million times. The two boys, they would be 5 and 2 now. They were the youngest, and they were the only children that Hamas would not release after they briefly, back in November of last 23, when they released some. And they, at first they were saying that, oh, it was an Israeli blitz on Gaza and that's what killed them. And then they kept changing their story. Oh no, they were changing on when it happened and then when it, Hamas killed them. So they said that they're going to release 6 living hostages on Saturday and they're going to release the bodies of 4 tomorrow. And then they have to undergo identification before they're actually named, but Israel confirmed that it looks like they're deceased. I think what's also deceased is Hamas's goal for Gaza to be a state. I think this two-state solution is also deceased. Israel should resume the strip and turn it to glass. That's it. That's the solution. Hamas is a duly elected government governing body of Gaza, and they are super popular. And it wasn't just, I hate this idea from people who don't have familiarity with how, I guess, Hamas operates or how Gaza is run. But when these people were held hostage, they weren't held in like an official Hamas prison. Hamas doesn't have like uniforms and stuff like that. I mean, that's part of why they're so insidious. They are insidious. They're so, they're everywhere. They were held in random people's homes who were rejoicing in their misfortunes and their torture and their physical struggle after so long being in captivity. You know, the women have been repeatedly raped throughout captivity. They've been tortured. You've seen people when they are alive and they're released, they look like they're walking out of a concentration camp. They torture them right up until they have no physical custody of them anymore. But you can't have a two-state solution with an entity that is a terrorist. And you can't have a two-state solution with people who vote for terrorists. Oh, don't think that that's like a made-up thing from Hamas either. Agence France-Presse, Reuters, a million different entities have all gone in. And they've, in fact, the popularity for Hamas was so great that they pretty much run West Bank too. The idea that Fatah runs West Bank is just an optic. Hamas was so popular, they were besting Fatah in every poll, and they were going to best them in the election. They were going to run both territories. That's a fact.
So please stop with the whole, oh, but not every, this is geopolitics. And you're talking about an entity that since it was given like a welfare recipient, a strip of land fully furnished, all they have done is murder and chaos, murder and chaos, murder and chaos, kill, kill, kill. It's all they've done the entire time. Anybody asking for any of its Gaza's neighbors to continue putting up with this for this BS optic of peace are contributing to murder. You're culpable. It's just this two-state solution is dead. Israel needs to take back its land, and if anybody's got a problem, turn it to glass. I'm done with it. Anybody that goes out and just enjoys kidnapping women and babies, killing babies the way that they do, these Nazis in Gaza, no. There's no moral defense of it. And Israel should kill every single prisoner that they have in custody from Gaza. That's what I would do. Go full on Vlad Tepish with these people. Done. Done with it. Because brutes only understand brutality. For every one person of ours you kill, we will kill 100 of yours. That should be the response. For the weak people who love getting people killed because of their cowardice, stay out of the discussion. Because that kind of weakness has led to this perpetuation of death. You think that you can coddle murderers and terrorists. You think that you can satisfy them. They're never satisfied. So Israel should pop every single prisoner that they've got, because they're all terrorists anyway. Take care of every single prisoner and just do an air dump right in the center of Gaza. And if anybody's got a problem with it, turn them to glass. This has gone on way too long. I can't even believe we're entertaining anything other than that response. It's pure weakness. And it perpetuates the cycle of death. So, yeah, I think that the prisoners should be, that were engaging in acts of terrorism, they should meet the same fate that that sweet baby met. Now, this couple of things to get into, because we've been talking about the budget. We're going to be talking with my friend Carol Roth here coming up about this proposal. First, we got to talk about some of the savings being recommended by DOGE. And then this Forbes piece that, again, and I set this up and I'm so, because the narrative is just out there of Elon Musk saying, well, let's send everybody, you know, $5,000. It's not going to actually, you know, really work. He didn't say that either. He merely responded to somebody. But it's not doable. And this Senate bill is not doable either. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about some of the stuff that small business is dealing with as a result of some of this, all of it. Can we talk about this Kristi Noem thing? I wanted to touch on this too. Kristi Noem posted yesterday a video where she's announcing, I guess, that she wants to do an ad campaign about the border and about deportations. She said she's announcing a nationwide, international, multi-million-dollar ad campaign warning illegal aliens to leave our country now or face deportation with the inability to return to the U.S. It serves as a strong warning to criminal illegal aliens to not come to America. This is her post on X. And if they do, they will be hunted down and deported. And so she posted this yesterday. And I have to tell you, I think that that's a stupid idea. First and foremost, we don't need a multi-million dollar ad campaign. We're trying to save money. What the hell? What you have to do is actually apprehend people and then deport them. And you don't have to incentivize them, their recidivism, by making it seem like it's you're going to keep the door open for them to come back. You either leave of your own volition or you're going to be deported. That's it. And I think, and you can't tell me people aren't aware of that right now. I mean, this is so goofy. This is not a camp. Stop campaigning and taking pictures of stuff. Just do the damn job. You don't need an ad campaign. I mean, I don't understand why we have to spend multi-million dollars on this. This is literally exactly what we're raging against in terms of government. And this is one of the reasons why I wasn't a fan of her being at DHS. I mean, I think Tom Homan's doing an amazing job. But this, an ad campaign, you want to spend millions of dollars that we don't have on an ad campaign? Just deport them. FFS. I'm not being mean, Kane, correct?
I mean, I think earned media is the way to go. Like you said, every time they have a major apprehension or an operation that's successfully executed, literally go on the media, go on news, tell them about your successes and your plans going forward. This is how you do it. That's how the illegals or potential illegals are going to know not to show up.
I think that this, I feel like she's making it about her. I'm not a fan of Noam. Because I know how she governed and I know how she was in the House when she was in Congress. She was a very moderate candidate. She was not MAGA. And she was actually thwarted by her own more conservative state legislature when she was governor because she was trying to shut her state down. And she also didn't defend women in sports. I had her on air to talk about that. She got hit by everybody on that. And she's been trying to rewrite history because she really wanted to be VP. That's why she had the glow up and the extensions and all that stuff. I'm not like, you know, knocking it. I'm just saying there was a glow up. This is exactly why I was very apprehensive on her being in this position. I love Tom Homan. And I think actually Pam Bondi, you know, I have issues on 2A with her, but she's doing a fabulous job. But for this, you're going to do an ad campaign? No. You know the ASMR thing that we played yesterday when they were talking about? That was actually smart. I don't know if that was Noam's idea or not, but that was actually, you just do that and put it up online. You don't need to have a multi-million dollar ad campaign. You deport people, take some video, you put it up on social media, boom, there's your earned media. Because we don't have the budget for this right now. This is not what we want to see. We want to see deportations and apprehensions. Record that, put it online, earned media. That stuff goes viral. But I don't need, you know, the professional lights and the full-on makeup and the ad campaign about, I don't need any of that, nor does any other voter. Just deport them. Stop. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, first, and we got Carol Roth coming up after headlines today. A Caledonia area daycare apparently got in trouble for using melatonin spray, and they are promising parents that it won't be used again. What in the world? So they say that parents are upset after this daycare center in Michigan sprayed kids' sleeping mats with melatonin without their knowledge. Yeah, you can't be doing that kind of stuff. That's goofy. They said they used Dr. Teal's sleep spray with melatonin and essential oil. Some of that stuff smells like liquidized hippie. Stop it. Nobody wants to smell like a dirty armpit. Nobody wants their kids to lay down on a cot or a mat that smells like that. And they said that it's not been approved by FDA, like that matters, for using by kids. Don't be spraying stuff on other people's kids where they sleep. Stop it. Just do your damn jobs. You know, tire the kids out with activities and they'll take naps without having to use a sleep aid. Idiots. What is this headline? Okay. A restaurant called, it's actually called Chubby Chicks. In Philadelphia, a restaurant called Chubby Chicks is the business owner is claiming she's being bullied by people who are not happy that she's there. And they said it's a very fancy restaurant. We don't want our fancy area. We don't want a place called Chubby Chicks there. What
What does Chubby Chicks do? Because the article does not say literally anything about it. And I'm like,
I envision large portions.
What?
Large portions. That's it? That's what the restaurant does.
That's all it is? Well, what's wrong with that?
I envision that. I don't really know because, like you said, it's not in the article.
Yeah, I mean, like, what? I'm going to look this up. What is with the... I mean, if that's all it is, then why is that a big deal if it's just larger portions?
I guess they hate the name.
So, they don't like the name. And the restaurants... There's one publication that said they're dividing the neighborhood with upset patrons. I don't even... Good grief. If it's not like a strip club of fat chicks, then what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? That's what I first honestly thought it was going to be. And I'm like, why do I care? I don't know. We got Carol Roth coming up. Don't go anywhere.
The Dana Show Podcast. Your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
80% of the Doge money saved needs to go to paying down the national debt. And the other 20%. Needs to go right back to the same people who sent it to DC in the first place, taxpayers like you and me. Doge is set to save $2 trillion over the next 2 years. There are 78 million tax-paying households in America. That means that $25,000 per household is what's being saved by Doge. $20,000 of that goes towards the national debt, and the other $5,000 needs to go right back to households in the form of a Doge dividend.
Oh, why are we doing this again? Okay, first off, as I was telling everybody, I was going to throw my... Can I just go yeet myself off my roof?
No.
So this Elon Musk responded to a tweet that had... And this is James Fishback. He's an entrepreneur, investor guy. Elon Musk had responded to a tweet that was discussing this guy. And he said, I'll talk to the president about it. And then it became this big piece over at Forbes. But still, I don't even want to... anybody to talk to POTUS about this. I don't want him talking to POTUS about it. This is so stupid. No. And you don't have to take my word for it. We brought on a real life expert who can do math and knows money, and she's pretty and smart, and her name's Carol Roth, and she's my friend, and she has a book called You Will Own Nothing, Your War with the New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. Oh my gosh, Carol, save us.
Yeah, I mean, here's the last thing you want to do is tell President Trump that he could stick his name on a check that's going to be sent out to everybody in America, or even just the taxpayers, because there's nothing that Donald Trump loves more than sticking his name on a check and giving that back to you. However, we're in a little bit of a financial problem here. We are running wartime deficits. 7% of GDP, about $2 trillion. We have an emerging market debt load of 120%+ to GDP. So yes, we want Doge to save us money. We want to root out the fraud. We want to root out the waste. But that's not your money. That's the money they put on the credit card on your behalf. So even if they save, let's say, $500 million a year, which would be incredible, 25% of this extra $2 trillion deficit, that still leaves us $1.5 trillion deficit. So where is that money coming from to send out checks that are then going to stimulate the economy and cause inflation? Like, I remember when everybody didn't like the Biden inflation from the Biden stimulus checks that stimulated the economy. I remember when everybody knew economics because we shouldn't cancel student loans. But now all of a sudden, it's a Doge check. Well, now I'm a smart conservative and I love this idea. Please, please, people, have some principles, have some common sense. Yes, it's frustrating to see all of this waste and fraud, but we want to eliminate it so we can get back on track. We don't want to create new problems. This is what people voted for.
It's exactly what we voted for. And I think it's why my heart stopped when I first saw this, because just to your point, all the stimmy checks, that was bad. The COVID, because there was no waste, fraud, and abuse with any of that. No waste, fraud, and abuse with all the COVID checks that went out. I mean, it was all above board, Carol. All the money was spent responsibly, and we could track all of it.
Stimmy checks are bad, okay?
I
they're bad.
my other, and I understand, you know, I understand the suggestion. I'm fine with the speculation, but I agree with you. And I'm so glad that you put it, you articulated it as succinctly as you did on X, because it's just a bad idea. The other thing that makes me nervous is because I know we have the amendment palooza and the voting and all of this stuff with the budget. That's kind of yay. The fight's just starting. We're all like, the fight was no, it's just starting now. That begins tomorrow because we have that Senate bill. And to the point of Doge and their cuts, they can recommend this stuff, but unless the Republicans in Congress actually adopt it and implement it, there is no point. I mean, I wanted to kind of get your take on that.
Well, I do think that there is a point because I think there are things that are under different people's purviews. And I'm certainly not an expert when it comes to, you know, who can, you know, green light something from Congress and who can stop something. But just in general, we know that under the executive branch's purview is a bunch of bureaucracy and a bunch of things that they control directly, that they should be able to cut down on and, you know, put programs in place and identify fraud and abuse. But yes, at the end of the day, who really controls the purse strings on an ongoing basis that is creating this problem and has created this problem is Congress. And if they don't create a solution that really does attack these deficits and attacks them, by the way, Dana, in a very smart way, because I've talked to you before about this at a little bit on a high level, but we have, because of our fiscal situation and the mess that the Biden administration left us, we have what I'm calling these trip wires all over the place. You know, the debt, the deficit, the strength of the US dollar, the 10-year yield, you know, all of these different things that when you start moving one piece of the puzzle, it could trip something somewhere else. And we're at such a precarious situation that could create an issue that ends up causing a debt spiral or actually expands the deficit. So we have to cut the deficit spending, but remember the deficit spending has also been propping up our GDP. Ooh. So we have to cut regulation and we have to supercharge growth at the same time, because if we just make these cuts, which we all want and we desperately need, and we don't do something to have growth, well, then we're going to actually end up with a bigger deficit for a while.
And that's the problem. And that's why this $5,000 stuff, that's not really going to, it's like being in debt $500,000 and then saying, I'm going to get rid of my Amazon Prime subscription. That's going to save money. Okay, I did it. Let's go to the casinos. That's not really going to work. I wanted to get to the small business, because there's an issue that you've been really sounding the alarm about before, but really quickly. I saw a post that Trump had post tweet. I don't even know what to call it anymore. It was on True Social and reposted to X, where he was talking. He kind of hit Lindsey Graham and his bill, because the one of the bills that Rand Paul voted against in committee was this bill, Carol, that it was looking at an increase in $345 billion increase in spending, but they weren't going to touch any of the expiration on the 2017 tax cuts. So there's not really a reduction in spending. They weren't actually looking at reducing the tax cuts. And Lindsey Graham and the others were saying, well, we'll come back to that later in the year and look at it, you know, after midterms start, when they're probably going to be like less amenable to doing this. Can we economically even wait that long to deal with that?
No, and I think that people need to remember that the tax collection piece is sort of its own animal and the spending piece is its own animal. And people like to conflate the two. You know, on the tax cut piece, we want people to hold more of their money and invest that productively and grow the GDP in the private sector instead of in the fourth quarter, almost $6 that it took for a $1 increase in the GDP from the government sector. That's what we want to have happen. And letting people keep their money actually brings in more tax revenue. We've seen this tax revenue collections after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act have increased. We're at almost $5 trillion a year, which is more than the entire GDP of every country in the world, except for the US and China. So, you know, having a tax policy that's smart and letting the private sector grow will, even though the numbers might look like, oh, you're keeping more of your money, but it grows things, the pie increases and you actually collect more revenue. So that's a good thing. And that's separate from the spending piece and, oh, we're spending more than it is that we're taking in. And unfortunately, again, because everybody's economically and financially illiterate, they like to conflate the two. Oh, we're just going to, you know, cut taxes. And how are we going to pay for that? Well, again, in cutting taxes, you are getting more revenue. So the question is, how are you going to keep your spending down so that the $5 trillion, which is plenty of money mm-hmm. for the government can spend, that you're only spending that much or less, that is completely separate. It should be a separate discussion, but does need to be happen at the same time so that everybody knows what's going on. Because the challenge for all of us is uncertainty. How do small businesses, big businesses, individuals make investments if we don't know what the tax policy is going to be from a day-to-day basis, if everything keeps changing, if we have no certainty? So certainty is a good thing. We need to know the rules of the game we're playing, and we want those rules to be fair and to be appreciative of what the American people are doing and not abusive, which is what the government has been doing for
exactly.
a long time.
For those watching, if you're watching on the simulcast or listening, talking to our friend Carol Roth, I love how she calls herself a recovering investment banker. She also, speaking of small business, you were instrumental in raising the alarm about the Corporate Transparency Act beneficial ownership information, the reporting requirement for small business. And I know I had sent this out in our newsletter, the thread that you had that was back in March, where you walked through for people who were unfamiliar with it. It's, you know, how it was like a mass data collection initiative, and you were really educating everyone about it. And I know that there's been there have been updates on this story. There was an extension, it's not good enough. And that's one of the things you noted. Tell us the latest about this.
Okay, so this is so frustrating because, you know, we have an administration that says we are pro-entrepreneurs and small business. We've heard it from Trump. We've heard it from the Secretary of the Treasury, everybody. We are anti-regulation. So why do we have a rule that is forcing small businesses with entities, and by the way, also housing association boards and their members and a bunch of other people are getting caught up in it, but of course not big businesses, but these small businesses to register with the Financial Crimes Division of the Treasury. Important information, private information, driver's license or passport, other information. And if you don't do it, you can get thrown in jail. You can get a penalty of up to almost $600 a day now. This is not what small businesses need. So this is the easiest win for Congress, for the Trump administration, for the Treasury. And what happened? The Treasury appealed the injunction that was in place that said that we didn't have to file, and the court has granted that injunction be stayed or lifted or overturned. And basically that means that per FinCEN's website today, we now again are on the clock. March 21st, again, is the filing deadline that if you don't put in that information, and by the way, if you don't update it every time it changes, you can be on the hook for jail time and fines and all this stuff. And this is freaking out small businesses. People want to close their small businesses. People don't want to start small businesses. It's the exact opposite of everything that everyone is standing for right now. So we need everyone's voices. There are bills that are in the House and in the Senate. The repealing Big Brother Overreach Act has a ton of co-sponsors in both places. We need them to repeal this. We need the Trump administration to come out and say, hey, our Treasury is not going to do this. We're just going to blow this whole thing up, because Trump vetoed this the first time and Congress overrode the veto. So we know he doesn't even like this to begin with. It's so easy, and this is so frustrating. And we're hearing all these other silly things that everybody else is focused on when this is a real issue for not a small number of folks. This is 35 million small businesses, plus everybody who is a meaningful decision maker for them, plus the housing association boards. Get this done once and for all. Give entrepreneurs the certainty. Show them that you have their back and you're going to remove the barriers so that we can grow the economy and the GDP and do those things to make America great again.
That's so well put. This is why you need to be advising the administration. You need to be up there instead of some of these other folks. They need Carol Roth. Carol Roth, you can find her on X at Carol J. S. Roth. And of course, you can also get her book as well, best-selling author. Find her at carolroth.com news. She's got a newsletter up there. You've got all kinds of stuff. You are one of the smartest people
economically finance the whole nine yards. I look to you every day when this stuff breaks. So I appreciate you coming on with me so last minute to talk about all of this stuff. Grateful for your insight. Carol, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for giving a platform. It's so important that you open up so that we can educate people. So really appreciate everything you do. Keep killing it, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Educating me too. Carol Roth, everybody. Thank you, Carol. So good to see you.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Make sure you also sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. A lot of good stuff that goes out there regularly. You know, we got prep. There are a couple of other pieces that are going to be going out here soon. So it's good for folks to go sign up. And of course, Facebook and as well as YouTube. Oh, I mean, we have a lot of really good audio today that I did not go to because I wouldn't shut up. Listen to this. This is Audio Soundbite 19. I want you to listen to this. This is from Whoopi Goldberg. And this is about the Toronto plane crash and her trying to go after Sec of Transportation Duffy. You can't say Sec Trans like you can't Sec Duff. It sounds bad. Listen.
I have been panicking over all this insanity with these planes.
Yeah.
You know, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Like, so let's start with the string of mass firings by Elon Musk's Doge.
Oh, my God.
Doge. Yeah. Doge. Has sparked a lot of chaos, confusion, and fear because Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is defending the firing of 400 FAA workers.
And as we know, those workers had nothing to do with air traffic control or security. Any of that. A lot of it was redundancy, and they couldn't even like define right. This is I just want to pull my hair out when I hear this stuff. When did Duffy? And I'm trying to think while I'm talking to you. When did Duffy? Wasn't he just confirmed like last week?
A little more than a week ago, yeah.
Okay, so, and again, the firings have not even been fully implemented. They are mainly like just recommendations at this point. Yeah. And it was only, I think with the IRS, it was like temp workers and some of these other agencies. It was people who haven't even been there for a year. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but I'm so tired of this. They're still running defense for the previous admin. Today's stupidity came.
Well, it actually plays in line with what you're talking about. Lisa Murkowski was talking about Doge. Is it Doge?
Right? Oh, am I right?
God, it's annoying as hell. But apparently they're saying Doge doesn't demonstrate much due process. Is Doge doing the firing, or are they just doing the discovering? Because I think it's just the discovering. Listen to this. Cut 27.
It doesn't demonstrate much due process, but even more to it, it doesn't show respect for those who have...
We're on a fact-finding mission. We're not on a respect-finding mission. We need facts so that the administration can make the right decisions, and that is to cut the waste, fraud, and abuse.
Yeah.
Stop it already.
Exactly. Folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a great rest of your evening. Find us Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe, Substack, Chapter and Verse. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.